with our heads bowed, we're starting these services now. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Lord, these 3 nights we will be here. Should you give us strength, you will allow us breath. And then on the Lord's Day, again, when we will remember your resurrection, we expect to be seated here. We expect to be standing in worship. We expect to be listening with open hearts and a bated breath at what you might say and what we should be hearing. I pray with all my strength tonight, with all the sincerity of my soul, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you. And I pray that you'll bless the visitors that come from night to night. And I pray that you'll take our brother Vin as an instrument in your hand. Open his mouth. I pray you'll speak through it. Place a seal there, O God, that he might say only that which you'd have him to say. May we hear each one. And now, O living bread, true bread, manna sent from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, come and break the bread to us. I pray, Lord, come and break the bread to us. And we shall thank you for it from the depths of our heart. Amen. Amen. Brother Vin, God bless you.
God, we feel blessed tonight. You can have a seat. I want to greet everyone in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly a great blessing and privilege to be here and really appreciate the wonderful atmosphere we feel in the house of God and the expectation in the hearts of the believers. I'm really looking forward that the Lord will just help us and be with us in a special way. Now we long remember these times, and it would cause us all to be closer drawn to Him, more filled with His Spirit, under real anticipation to see Him when He comes to take us home. And I really did enjoy myself Sunday. You know, it was a real inspiration to my heart, and was really encouraged to know that it was a blessing to you also. You see, many times, you know, we would speak on things in the message, and you know, sometimes the brother Ed was saying tonight that, you know, we don't get it all at one time. It was just one of the things that I had in my heart to say tonight, because I would be speaking basically the same subject over the next few days. And I'm really trusting the Lord that it would come out real clear, and it would cause us to become have a real passion to know God's Word. You know, Brother Ram says, he says, we should have a passion to know God's Word, a cry for reaching out in the Spirit, and a fervent desire to please God. And this is what we really want to see, because we're living in an hour where learning has replaced revelation. He says, and reason has replaced faith, and program has replaced spontaneous praise in the Holy Ghost. And the people, he says, are just becoming lukewarm, formal, and powerless. And, you know, many with well-worked explanations and educated guesses of educated men holding the ignorant in fruitless pastures. But we trust that this would bring a real revival in our hearts and a real enthusiasm to really serve God in this hour, because to realize what have been made available unto us, that God has come down, He's called us, He's revealed to us His great election in our lives. He has shown unto us that He predestinated us unto these things. And there is not any amount of devils in hell can stop us from coming to it. Amen. Amen. So there's no one can take your place. And, you know, the more we hear it and the more we would read it and becomes more real and quickened and inspired by the Holy Spirit to us, is a greater faith in our hearts all the time. Because the Bible says the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith unto faith. Because He became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. He became us that we might become Him. And Jesus says, in this day you will know I in you and you in me. And what a great realization that is to the believer when we really begin to recognize it is He inside of us. Amen. I remember just before I came up here, I was preaching a little message back home of He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And Brother Bram says that was one of the greatest plagues you have found in the Christian church, is fear. There's so much talk about fear because fear is an insecurity, is a lack of assurance. And he says when those seven seals are open in the last days, it was to take the fears and the doubts out of the people. Amen. And bring us to a perfect faith and a perfect God who made a perfect promise in His perfect word. And to let us see that God is not incomplete without us. Amen. That we have chosen Him, we are part of Him. And there's no way. He said, under no circumstances. There are some people who have been chosen Christ and the name has been placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Under no circumstances those names could be removed from that section of the book. And when you think that God can come and show unto us, amen, His love, and show unto us, blessed is the man, the bride, that He don't impute sin unto. Amen. Only righteousness. Like Abraham, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Amen. What a faith that is for us. And, you know, He desired that we would really come to know who we are. He said, when the church comes to know who she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. Satan will be powerless before her. And I think of that time in the vision when the Holy Spirit told him, I give you power to bind that mamba. He said you could bind him and loose him. Amen. And to think that the church of the living God is going to be a super church. She is a super church. That's where God has placed her. Amen. And as the message will be opened more and more to us, it's just for us to see ourselves the way He sees us. I remember when that angel came to Gideon, he says, thou mighty man of valor. And he says, me, I'm the weakest and the least of my father's children. He had an inferiority complex. And the angel had to come and take away that fear and let him see himself. He said, you will smite the Midianites as one man. See, the same people he's hiding from and being intimidated by and, you know, having a fear that they will come and take over his crops and these things. And God is telling him, He said, you will smite them as one man. Have not I sent thee? And to think that while he sat there under the presence of that angel speaking to him, it brought a transformation in his own life. And I believe that being that way with us, that it has come to the hour where we are knowing as we were known. He said, we have seen through a glass darkly. But as we are changing from glory into glory and begin to hold the glory of the Lord in a mirror and it's changed into that same image, then we are seen face to face. Right in this word, this is the mirror.
Amen.
He said, man, we look in into the perfect law of liberty and we walk away forgetting what we look like. You see, we've not been able to hold it many times. But man, these services, I remember Brother Bram when he was preaching the message, Shalom. It was such an inspiration to his heart, and you know, being the last messenger to the last churches and bringing that message in this last junction before the millennium, he had to pronounce judgment on this world and he had to usher in the new kingdom that was coming into us. He had to let us know, announce it to us that there's a new kingdom coming. And he stood there and he says, the light is breaking between mortal and immortality.
Right.
The present coming of that great light. Breaking between a dying world of corruption and a bright new shining day. He says, and right now we're in the darkest time, just before dawn. But here the ministry of the morning star. He was sent to reflect the light of the coming sun. Such a power, such a glory, such a dominion that Adam was given back in the Garden of Eden as he stood there ushering this the breaking of this great day for us. And while he's bringing that, I remember 1965, I think I was quoting it Sunday evening, he came to the end of his ministry and he was preaching things without a B. He was so caught up in the realization of what was coming because the book was open. Redemption will be revealed. Amen. The Jews is waiting for the bride of Christ to be taken off the scene so that they can receive the message. And here was the prophet revealing all these things and living under the effects of this revelation. He says, don't you feel that travail is becoming evening time? And we are desiring, we are groaning and travailing to enter that other body. That perfection is calling us to that perfect place. I believe that, you know, that deep calling as we begin to live in the realization of these things, and we will sit more and more on it. And my desire is that in these services, many of the things we're going to speak, you know, it's more like I'm teaching, and sometimes, you know, teaching, we go kind of slow, and we have to, you know, go from one scripture to the next, and these things, and the Holy Spirit have put something on my heart. I believe that, you know, God just, He was dealing in the message, and the Holy Spirit has brought it out in this season, this time, and, you know, it has been a great encouragement to me. And it's been upon my heart to preach it here, and I'm trusting to preach it on the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. And because there are many things inside of there that as we're going to try tonight in a very simple way, in a very basic way, and I've been kind of praying, you know, I know that we, God's people is not a intellectual people. I myself, you know, intellectual person, but I've been praying that the Lord will give me the right way to present the message. Right. In a way that it wouldn't just be like information, but it would be an inspiration to your life. In a way that it would stimulate your faith and your expectations. And it would give you such an assurance in this dark, perilous hour that we are living in. That you are one of His, and the place that He has gone prepared for us, and He has come to receive us unto His own self, that where He is, there we may be also. And that this great hope that we have as a Christian, it can become such a realization in our hearts over these few days. So each night, we're going to just maybe take a little portion. I'm trying not to be too lengthy and not to put too much in, but you see, sometimes when you're preaching, you look at a picture and you bring out part of it. Sometimes, you know, to stop in a certain place, it almost like leave it hanging. You know, and I've been trying to pray the Lord can give me just the right ways. When I take it part by part, you know, maybe just about an hour and a half, you just sit there right under the wood, go right straighten it. Just give us the grace to concentrate and look into it. And just receive it in your heart, believe it. It can be so clear, I believe, by the grace of God. It'll be so perfect with the scripture. It'll be so real. It'll be nothing new and strange. You're going to kind of probe your mind. It's what is all around you. It's what you read daily, but it's just we trust in the Holy Spirit quickening the scriptures with impact of revelation. Has been presented in an atmosphere where believers are praying on anticipation, lovers of the word gathered together in heavenly places, speaking about eternal things, the love of God can just be shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And right, it can be so filled with His truth, filled with His Holy Spirit, that it can bring closer to us. As Brother said, I can almost touch it, these things there. That it can bring so close to us. And you're speaking something of theophany, so close to you. And to live more in a consciousness of these unfailing realities. Amen. And this is my prayer, my desire. And we'll be going back and forth from Genesis to Revelation. And I preach some of the things back home and just kind of not trying to go over the routine way of preaching. But just feeling for the inspiration each night, just for the Holy Spirit, maybe by the pull of your faith and what you crave in your life, the Holy Spirit can just bring it out in a way that will be relevant and applicable and personalized to you. As you're hearing it, it will not be like you sitting here and watching, you'll be in the midst of it. And that's what we desire, because when the word becomes is presented to us in that way, it brings faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So that's what we want, to inspire faith. Because these things in this book that was sealed and been opened up in this last day to the evening message was to give us a rapturing faith. Faith to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And that is what we are believing God will do for us. Shall we all stand to our feet? You know, I really appreciate the being here and the saints here and the Brother Ed and the other ministering brothers, Brother Tom and Brother Lance and the other ministries in the church, Brother Rod and the brothers. You know, I sometimes get in the pulpit, I try to speak of my feelings, and I'm kind of hard person to express my feelings. I don't know, you know, but may God help you as you could see my heart and you could know how I feel and my appreciation, you know, here for the saints in the church here. As son Brother Ed, you know, that he don't really know. I believe maybe God revealed to him the great influence and blessing he has been to my life especially, and my ministry, and meeting him and you know, giving me the friendship and the acceptance and these things, and the encouragement in the word has really been a great inspiration to my life. And you know, I look forward to coming here, not just to preach most of the time, God in my heart, and most of the time it's for the fellowship, to sit, to be in his company, to, you know, meet the brothers, and because it's just a refreshing for me, like I go right back in the midst of the struggles and press the battle with great determination. Because I just desire to be a true Christian. Have a true Christian testimony, be a true husband to my wife, a true father to my children, true minister for the Lord Jesus Christ, a true Christian to God's people, that when we leave this world, we can leave a true testimony, as those who have been associated with us have seen Christ in us. Maybe the greatest thing that could happen to us, that others could look and see Christ and be encouraged to serve him. And I trust that this is the way it will be to you in bringing these messages, that's to cause you to receive more of him, to live more for him, and that others could see more of him in you by the grace of God. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. And you know, Leviticus 23 deals with seven feasts that God gave to Israel. And the first, verse 4 and 5 was the first feast, the feast of the Passover. Verse 6 to 8 was the second feast, the feast of the unleavened bread. Verse 9 to 14 was the third feast, the feast of the first fruits. Verse 15 to 22 was the fourth feast, the feast of Pentecost. And we want to begin reading from the fifth feast, verse 23, the feast of trumpets. We want to begin reading from there. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, now this is another feast, now this is the feast of the atonement. Also on the tenth day of the seventh month, 9 days after, the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted, in that same day he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it is that doeth any work, in that same day the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no man of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening unto evening, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. We want to continue a little bit again to another feast. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month, 5 days after now, the Feast of the Atonement, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So, we read from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have gathered here tonight to begin this series of services, Father, we want the dove to lead the eagles. We're depending upon your Holy Spirit. We confess it's not him that will it or him that will run it, but God that showeth mercy. It's not by might, but by power, by his Spirit, said the Lord. You said the Spirit of truth would come and he would lead us and guide us into all truth. He would bring back things to our remembrance. He would show us things to come. He will teach us all things. We are believing that promise and we are depending that that is the way it will be with us over these days.
Yeah.
Lord, you give us an unction.
Oh, God.
And the Holy Spirit to quicken your word and make it alive and quicken our minds to understand and to grasp it, Lord. Let it be real. Let it be clear unto us. Let it be so placed positionally in your economy where we are by the preaching of your word in this hour. May it bring us to such an expectation we can recognize our position. And Lord, may it stimulate the faith of our hearts to press on with great anticipation to see in our lives all you've spoken to be fulfilled, be interpreted in this hour. Grant it, Father. Bless us. Bless the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. We commit ourselves into your hands and await the divine direction of your Holy Spirit now. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. We're going to use the same title every night. And just like part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4, and so on. And I want to take the title of the revelation of the seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets that I'm speaking of is in Revelation chapters 8 to 11. And we will be dealing with these things in the book of Revelation because my conviction is that the message of this last day was to reveal the book of Revelation. Brother Abraham came and he started with the seven church ages. He said, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials. He says, but the seals seal the entire book. And once the seals is really given by revelation, it's all the air. Because the ages are under the seals. The trumpets are under the seals. The vials are under the seals. The seals is what sealed the book. And it was a plan of redemption that was sealed up in the book. A plan of redemption. And in that book, God has one purpose, one goal, one objective that he's working to achieve. It was a great threefold secret he had in the back part of his mind. And all the lives and the acts of believers was expressed in that one goal and one purpose. So the book is really one goal and one purpose. It's really a plan of redemption. It's really sealed with seven seals. But certain parts of the plan, he called ages. Certain parts of the plan, he called trumpets. Certain parts of the plan, he calls vials. But it's really one purpose.
Amen.
One theme in the entire book. And it's all revealed through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he's the principal theme of the entire Bible.
Amen.
So, when the prophet came, he opened those seven seals and the entire book was open. It was all laying there. But he wanted to deal with the different portions of it. But whatever it is, it must come back to redemption because it's a book of redemption. Whether it's Israel or whether it's the Gentile bride, it is redemption. Whether it's the earth, it is redemption. So once we have these basic principles, it's not complicated. Because whatever we talk about, it cannot change that one goal and one purpose. It must end back up with Adam, Eve, in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
It's paradise lost and paradise again.
Amen.
The prophet says, the scripture is God's great jigsaw puzzle. Not a Lego set. A jigsaw puzzle. Now today they have something what they call a Lego set. And one man's imagination could build a house, one man's imagination could build a truck, one man's imagination could build something else, and each man could build according to the imagination.
Right.
And you could have spare parts. But with a jigsaw puzzle, have no spare parts.
Right, right, right.
Every piece have a specific place.
Yeah.
And if when the pieces are correctly fitted, it is going to reveal a picture.
Right, right.
Because the picture is in the box to begin with.
Amen. Right.
And in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, now this step is thus said the Lord, come back to this always. Because this is the great secret in the back part of God's mind. He's revealing the one goal and one purpose that God had in the entire Bible. So that was the picture.
Amen.
We know the song, you know the picture, we know what we're working with.
Amen.
Amen. And when you have a big jigsaw puzzle, you know, like that, it have a 76 sections, 66 sections of this picture. See? And you know, in putting a jigsaw puzzle together, the side pieces are easy to recognize. And the end pieces are easy to recognize. So right there, somebody says, what about this in the name of Jesus Christ? Serpent seed, no eternal hell, and, you know, women can't preach, and, you know, all these little side pieces. It's easy to see. But as you begin to put the picture together, sometimes to find a specific place where a certain piece fits, you have to kind of see a certain amount of that scene to correctly fit that piece. To know where it really fits. You see? So, after a while, line upon line, picture upon picture, here and there, it's all going to come together and going to reveal that one goal and one purpose and a threefold purpose. It's going to reveal that plan of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. So, I trust that by the grace of God, when we come to the end of the services, it'll be clear to us, regardless of what angle we approach or where we start from, they're going to come out to that one picture. You see, we already know the picture is, but it has certain part of the puzzle. Because you can look at the picture and know what the picture is going to be when it comes out. You know these pieces mean that. You don't see the picture already. But you may not be able to fit all the pieces, but you see the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Right. See? But it really inspires you, and you see the one who made the jigsaw puzzle.
Amen.
And you get to see how he thinks and how he works. And it brings you into a greater understanding of the one you're relating to.
Right.
When you can see how he does certain things. And this is all going to help you, because basically you already know the picture.
Right.
You're not confused about the picture. You know the picture going to be to begin with. But certain pieces may kind of trouble you. I wonder where that fits, or where this fits, or where that fits.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So when certain pieces are just put together, it's just going to bring a greater faith in what you already believe.
Right.
When you say, oh man, look where that piece fit, look where that piece fit here. You see? So, that is the way I feel it is. Now, these seven feasts in the book of Leviticus, the first feast was the feast of the Passover. I just want to explain a little bit of the feast. Maybe that's some of the younger ones, the new ones. Get a little background. There were seven feasts. The first one is the feast of the Passover. And it's called the Passover because God told Moses, slay the lamb, put the blood, I will pass over you.
Right.
So they call it the feast of the Passover. And that lamb, in the time of redemption, when death couldn't strike them, would have to be under the blood, was speaking of Christ. That lamb was Christ. So Paul, when he came over in the New Testament, and he's writing 1 Corinthians 5, he says, Christ, our Passover.
Right.
Because the Old Testament, all those things were shadows and types. Every feast was speaking of Christ. So then also, that was his death, then the feast of the unleavened bread. They had the unleavened bread, made without leaven. That is the 7 days. When Jesus came, he broke the bread and said, this is my body which is to be broken for you.
Amen.
He gave him the wine. Every time we keep the Lord's Supper, we remember him. Christ is our unleavened bread.
Amen.
We're speaking of him also. Then the feast of the first fruits was the first mature wheat, the first one up from the dead. Because when they planted it, it had to die. Had to rot. And it's going to come back up. And the life was going to come up through three stages until it's formed again in the original image. And when that first one matured, they would pick it, take it to the priest, he would wave it. For the acceptance that the rest was going to come to maturity like that one. And it spoke of Christ because 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, Christ, our first fruits.
Amen.
So he was the feast of the Passover, he was the feast of the unleavened bread, he was the feast of the first fruits. And the feast of the first was 3 days after, on the morrow after the Sabbath. We get back to the first day. The Sabbath was the 7th day.
Right.
And Jesus rose on the Sunday.
Right.
On the morrow after the Sabbath.
Right.
He rose for our justification.
Amen.
You see, because Adam was the first corn of wheat. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
See, he was in the image. He didn't be transformed in the image. He was made in the image. But we bypass the image and come and talk to flesh. So we are growing back up now to the full stature, changing from glory to glory to come back in the image. But when Jesus came, he was the Word made flesh. He came from thought to word to flesh. So Paul called him the last Adam. Because of Adam to Jesus. So Jesus was called the Feast of the First Fruits. So those first three feasts, Feast of the Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of the First Fruits, King of Christ, his own ministry, the Son of Man being revealed, his death, burial, and resurrection. Then, the fourth feast, the Feast of Pentecost, was 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits. And 50 days was 7 Sabbaths, 7 Sabbaths of 49. And then the 50th day. And 50 means Jubilee of Pentecost. And that particular feast, they would make the bread with leaven. Had a feast of the unleavened bread, but this feast, they had to make it with leaven 50 days after. And they would take it in the temple, and the priest would take it on the 50th day, 50 days after the resurrection, because Jesus ascended on the 40th day. And they waited for 10 days in the upper room. And 14 days was 50, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came in tongues of fire. And right at that time, here was the priest, the natural priest, in the natural temple in Jerusalem on that feast day. The people would bring those two loaves baked with leaven. And the priest would burn it with fire. But spiritually, here was the church that had sin still, working the baptism of fire, coming in the upper room. Because those natural Jews, they couldn't recognize the Feast of the Passover. They couldn't recognize Jesus as the Lamb. Right. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Right. He was the Passover Lamb. Amen. They couldn't recognize it. Right. He was the unleavened bread. He broke the bread and identified himself. They took it all those years. Since of Egypt. Every Passover, every year. But they never recognized what it meant. Amen. See, them. He was the Feast of the First Fruits, and they went through the tradition of doing it because Moses had to do it. But all this was a promise of redemption. It was to give the people a hope of what was going to come back to them. And the hour when it was there to be revealed to them, they couldn't recognize it. When Jesus began to identify himself, except a corner which fall on the ground and die to abide alone, they didn't know what he's talking about. But he was showing he was that weak. Because from Abel to John, not one of them could say they were the corner wheat. Jesus was the only one who could preach a wheat age, who could call himself the corner wheat. Because the corner wheat is the original image of the life. It is the entirety of the life and the entirety of the word. See, he was back in the image again. He said, "When you see me, you see the Father. I am my Father's one." None of them could preach that. Only him could preach that. Because he knew he had returned again. So 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits was the Feast of Pentecost, and they burned those two loaves. So from the wheat that was waved, it was now being turned into two loaves of bread. See? And those two loaves of bread represented the church, Jews and Gentiles. See, they were going to come in one body there. And that sin in it, it's going to be a baptism of fire. To be burned by fire on the 50th day. Then, the next feast, that feast would go on for 7 months. So the people would go back to their homes. Because the next feast would not be until 7 months. And then, the first day of the 7th month, the trumpets will be blown. To regather the people again. So when the people are regathered at the end of those 7 months, because the Feast of Pentecost was a type of the church, Israel rejected the Passover Lamb. They were blinded that they couldn't recognize the Messiah. And then God began to deal with the church. See? all the Gentiles is calling up people for his name's sake.
Yeah. Right.
And there's going to be seven church ages of the church while Israel will be blinded.
Yeah.
And when Israel rejected the Messiah, they were scattered into the earth.
Right.
Titus came, AD 70, and slaughtered them.
Right.
They cried, let his blood be upon us. We all know those things. We don't want to spend time on that. So when they were scattered into the earth, then there's a promise of a regathering of Israel. After God finished with the church.
Right.
But the church is going to be through the long Pentecostal feast.
Right. Yeah.
7 months.
Right. Right.
And then God is going to regather back Israel.
Yeah.
And when, the next feast was the feast of the trumpets, the gathering of Israel.
Right. Yeah.
And here they are gathered back, but for a purpose. On the first day of the seventh month, they were gathered back in the homeland. On the 10th day of the seventh month, they were going to mourn for the sacrifice. There was to be a day of atonement.
Yeah.
Then after the day of atonement, there was to come another feast. The Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles speaks of the millennium coming after the Feast of Atonement, when the Jews recognize the Messiah.
Amen.
After they gather back in the homeland, then they're going to recognize the Messiah. They're still waiting for that time to come to them.
Yes,
see? But the bride have to leave before Israel can have the Feast of Atonement.
Right. That's
right. See? So then what's going to happen after they recognize the Atonement, then what's going to happen is the next feast here, the last feast was the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the millennium. There's a big boots and so on, a type of how he says, we're going to build and another one will inhabit in the millennium. Isaiah 65, all his promises. So from the feast of the Passover to the feast of Tabernacles is speaking of a period of time from Christ's death to Christ's reign. Because the millennium is when the kingdom of the Son of David will be established in the earth. The feast of the Passover is when he died on the cross. And when he came on the earth, feast of the Passover, feast of the unleavened bread, feast of the first fruits, he was the Son of Man. But in the feast of Tabernacles, he is Son of David. And the feast of Pentecost, the seven church ages, those 7 months after the feast of first fruits, the resurrection, what it was, he was Son of God.
Amen.
So we have the little sheet there, and you'll notice, let me just, see, well, we have those seven feasts there, Feast of the Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of the First Fruits, was speaking of the Son of Man, Jesus. Then the Feast of Pentecost was speaking about those seven church ages. Then the Feast of Trumpets is Israel to be gathered back again. See? Then the Feast of the Atonement, when Israel will recognize the promise, and the Feast of Tabernacles was a type of the millennium. So here we see Jesus in three sons' names. Son of Man, when he's on the earth, in the first three feasts, Feast of the Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of the First Fruits, Son of God in the Feast of Pentecost, and Son of David in the Feast of Tabernacles. But we know that he was to be revealed in the last days as Son of Man again.
Amen.
And between the Feast of Pentecost, which is Son of God, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Son of David, is only two feasts. Feast of the Trumpets, and Feast of the Atonement. But somewhere in that space of time, the promise of Son of Man to be revealed again must take place.
Right.
That's very clear to us. Okay. See, I don't want to be bunged too much to this here. I believe that you're establishing the word is going to be easy, but it just clarifies with certain points that we want to dwell on a little bit. So, those seven feasts show from Christ's death to his reign, from the cross right down to the millennium. And we took here in the scriptures from the Feast of trumpets, the gathering of Israel to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what we read for our text, and that's what we understand deal a little bit. So we are speaking of Israel going back to the homeland until Jesus, until Christ reigns, until the millennium begins. That's the period of time. Now, those seven feasts is a parallel to the book of Revelation. And Revelation, it seems so complicated many a times, but if you have a key to unlock it, it becomes very easy. Because the first three chapters in Revelation deals with the church ages. The church goes in the fourth chapter, don't appear until the 19th chapter. The Revelation 20 is the millennium. So from Revelation 2, where the first church begins, to Revelation 20 is from the church age to the millennium. It's from the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's speaking about the same period of time. Alright. So, here in Leviticus 23, we notice after the first feast we read, which is Feast of Tabernacles, verse 23 to 25, then the next feast was the Feast of the Atonement. Nothing was written between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. In the book of Leviticus, nothing is written there between these two feasts. And the Feast of Trumpets is the gathering of Israel. And the Feast of the Atonement is Israel recognizing the Messiah. Now, though they gather back in the homeland, they don't know who Messiah is. They're still under Jewish traditions, Old Testament traditions. And Israel was gathered in the homeland in 1946. May the 7th, the 6-point star David flew over Palestine for the first time in 2,500 years. And 1948, they was recognized as a nation in the United Nations. Amen. And we know that under the sixth seal, Moses and Elijah is going to come and make known Christ to them, and they are going to recognize who the Messiah is. So from 1948, when they were recognized as a nation, after they were gathered back in Palestine, 1900 years from the time Titus run them out, slaughtered them, until they came back in 1948, they began scattered people. Jews have been almost in every nation. 1940, they came back, and the Feast of the Trumpets was the gathering of Israel again. And when did that happen? That happened in this generation. And Jesus said, the generation of the Israel become a nation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Amen. So here we are, 1988 tonight. May 1988, which is 40 years. Since Israel is gathered back and before they recognize the atonement. So 40 years have already transpired. Amen. From the Feast of Trumpets till this time. But what has happened in these 40 years is not shown here in the book.
Right.
It's just that after the Feast of Trumpets, next is the Feast of the Atonement. And here we are, have come to a whole generation. We are looking for the coming of the Lord. We are going to be changed. We are going to be resurrection. We are being expected to be called up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have seen the mightiest prophet ever walk the face of the earth in this generation. Yet there is nothing written here between the Garden of Israel and Israel recognizing the atonement. And if one generation is completed, it's about completed, and it's not given away what happened in that generation. Now, catch what I'm saying. It's not given away in the Bible. It's not showing it. It gives those seven seas. We know that there are seven ages already gone through the Pentecost. Because 1906 was that seventh age began. But 1914, the world went into war, and something happened in World War I. Relevant to the Bible. What happened was, Jerusalem was recaptured and given back to the Jews. Brother, I'm told it here. He said General Allenby was flying over Jerusalem. And while he was flying over Jerusalem, he wanted to fire on the city. It was occupied by the Turks. And he wired back the king of England. And he said, what to do? And I conquer the holiness of the city. I don't want to fire a shot on it. The king of England said, pray. He turned and he came back along over the city again. And here come the Turks with white flags saying the allies are coming, the allies are coming. Because they misunderstood that Allenby was coming. See? And they surrendered the city without one shot being fired. Then 1939 to 1945, World War II, the Jews were driven back into Palestine. To show the end time sign that when you see the fig tree put for his blood, you know it's even at the doors. Amen. That generation will not pass away. Amen. So on them two wars, something happened to bring the Jews back in the homeland for the Feast of the Atonement. Amen. And here, 40 years have already passed.
Right, yeah. Right.
And we are looking for the resurrection to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
And the Jews is the timepiece.
Amen.
And I believe that someone can meet in the Holy Spirit can spark our hearts. Amen. And show them the Bible, because it's all in the Word. One word cannot be added to this book.
Amen.
But when we have reason to see, He will open our eyes and let us see what we have need of for the hour that we are living in. So since nothing is given away between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement, then we must look in the Scripture to find out what is happening in this time. Because we are living in this time. We must know what is happening in our time. So is there another place in the Scripture where we can look at that will give us an insight into what is allotted in the economy of God to take place at this time?
Amen.
So, we are not living before in the time when Israel is not in the homeland. We are living that time when Israel is in the homeland.
Amen.
And we know what they gather back here for.
Right.
That's why we have faith in our promise. That's why we can be under expectation.
Amen.
Because if we live without that expectation, seeing all the signs there, it will show that we don't have a revelation. But when the signs are there and been identified and revealed by the Scripture, by a messenger, then we know what time it is. We know what is fixing to happen. The good man knows what all the thief is going to come. His house will not be broken into. Jesus told those things. But the foolish virgins, at midnight with a loud cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. All right. Then some of them came out, but when the Lord came, they didn't realize it. They were looking for oil. They didn't have none. And he went in. And they came to a realization that they were left back.
Right.
And they were crying and get emotional and say, Lord, open the door for us. Because they had to be left back in the tribulation period. But they couldn't enter in. And he told us parables about the end time. How it's going to come and men are going to miss it. They'll be unprepared in that hour. Amen. So, we want to find another place in the Scripture that could give us an insight in what is really allotted in the economy of God. What is really supposed to take place in this space of time. And if we can find that in the Scripture and see what is allotted to take place between these two feasts, between these two times where we are living. And then we can compare that with the spiritual history that has taken place in this generation for the past 40 years. Amen. And see if what has happened has matched the Scriptures.
Amen.
Then we know positionally where we are presently at in the economy of God. All we know right now is that we are between the Garden of Israel and Israel recognizing the atonement. But that generation has passed. Because they've been back there since 1948. May. No, it's 1988.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to see what is yet to take place, or if there is anything left to take place. Because if we have lived as a generation and we have the spiritual history, we have it documented of all that happened in this generation. That's why we all gathered here. We have seen a man believed to be a prophet. We have heard a message we believe to be a promise in the Word of God. We talk about the opening of the seven seals of the listening, we believe to be the unfolding of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that as we are preaching Sunday, this is going to bring the change of the body and all these things. But here, we are looking at in respect to time, where we are placed in God's economy, and what is to happen in that space of time. Now, this feast of trumpets is the gathering of Israel, and the feast of the atonement, which is Israel recognizing the Messiah. That was typed in different places in the Bible. That was typed in many places. So if we can find a place where the Feast of the Trumpets is tight, and where the Feast of the Atonement is tight, and we know we are living between those two times,
amen,
then when we find the portion of word that allotted in that time,
right,
we can see if our life is matching that word.
Amen.
To know what our experience is, to know where we are placed positionally,
right,
and we can see from that word how much of it is already fulfilled, and what is left to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Because we already established we live in that time.
Amen.
All right. Now, one of the places where the Feast of Trumpets was typed was in Genesis, where we see the mystery of Christ being revealed in Joseph. Because we know Joseph, making himself known to his brothers, was a type of the Feast of the Atonement.
Oh, yeah.
They begin to cry, they begin to weep and these things. And he says, all right, I'm Joseph. Because they didn't know he was Joseph yet. He's talking another tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to reveal himself to them.
Amen.
So, we want to look at the life of Joseph a little bit, because Joseph was a perfect type of Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Right. Right.
So, if Joseph is a type of Christ, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed, then Joseph's life would reveal the mystery of God in Christ to us. Because the whole plan of redemption led in Christ, and Joseph was a perfect type of Christ.
Yeah, right.
So, let us compare a little bit these seven feasts of Leviticus 23 with the life of Joseph. You notice the first column we have here. Joseph in prison. You know, Joseph came, most put on his brothers, blessed the father, had the seven color coat, all these things, seen visions, hated by his brothers, a type of Jesus.
Right.
Then Joseph in prison was a type of Christ on the cross.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
The feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread that spoke of his death.
Right.
And then Joseph, when he came out of the prison, he was exalted to the throne of Pharaoh. Like Christ, when he rose in the resurrection, he was placed on the right hand of the Father.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen. And we find out that Joseph's exaltation to the throne was a type of the feast of the first fruits, the resurrection.
Amen.
Then the feast of Pentecost, Joseph chose a Gentile bride.
Right.
Is that correct?
Amen.
What does Christ do in the feast of Pentecost for those 7 months after the feast of the first fruits? Choosing a Gentile bride.
Amen.
Then, what feast followed the feast of Pentecost? The feast of the trumpets.
Right.
And what happened? Joseph, in a time of economic depression.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
And Joseph's brothers begin to gather together. Amen. And here the Jews begin to gather together. Why did Joseph have chosen a Gentile bride already?
Amen.
Amen. So we see the feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, the feast of the first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the trumpets in the life of Joseph. Then the feast of the atonement, what follows the feast of trumpets? Because after Joseph's brothers gathered, then Joseph now is going to make himself known to his brothers. And he's going to mourn and cry. Is that correct?
Right.
And then the feast, what follows the Feast of Atonement is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Millennium.
Right.
And Joseph, he had dominion throughout the land. And here with his brothers and his wife, living in the same land where he had dominion, when he was coming, every knee had to bow at the sound of the trumpet. A type of the millennium, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, where you have dominion throughout the earth. So we see then from the feast of the Passover to the feast of Tabernacles in the life of Joseph. So now we can look in a little better and see something between the feast of trumpets, Joseph's brothers being gathered, and Joseph making himself known to his brothers. Because Leviticus 23 don't mention nothing between those two feasts. But if you find it in a type in the Bible, we will see what is happening there.
Amen.
Because that's the part where we are.
Right.
And in that hour, Joseph had to dismiss his wife to the palace.
Amen.
Before he could make himself known to his brothers.
Because
those brothers were gathered there. He was with his wife in the courts and all these things. But then yeah, in time comes, you know, having a fellowship and communication and things happening. See? But then the time comes, he had to dismiss her to the palace. So we see already one thing that happened in the air between the feast of the trumpets, the Jews being gathered together, Joseph's brothers being gathered together, and the feast of the atonement, Joseph making himself known to them. So we know the types are perfect. See? Because the New Testament was taught from the Old Testament. And if we can get our subject in the New Testament, which we take a look at that subject in the seven trumpets, and we can find our types in the Old Testament and get the two lined up together, then we'll know we are seeing the thing from the correct perspective we're supposed to see it from.
Amen.
Also, in the book of Ruth, this plan of redemption was also revealed. The feast of trumpets, the gathering of Israel, was typed in the Old Testament when Naomi, in the book of Ruth, was returning back to the homeland. Because we know the story of Ruth. How they went out to the inheritance. When they went out, here was Naomi's family had died outside of the homeland. That's where they died, outside the homeland. Because it was out of the will of God to be outside that inheritance. Alright. And then, it was coming to the beginning of harvest time. And a family had died. And these circumstances begin to push her back towards the homeland. And here, when Naomi was coming back in into the homeland, in that very hour, and we know 1948, the Jews of the nation back in the homeland, 1946, just returning back to Palestine, 3 minutes to midnight, but I'm talking about the film, how signs show them Jews going back. And them Jews wouldn't go on the plane. And that rabbi said, our prophet says, we will go back on the wings of an eagle. And everybody started going to the plane. Alright. So here it was. And Naomi was going back in the homeland. After the death of her family. Because the book of Ruth begins with Naomi going back to the homeland. In the beginning of harvest time. And it ends at the end of harvest time. When Naomi receives her redemption. But in the second, the third, the fourth chapters, in the air, though Naomi is back in the homeland, Boaz has no deal with her.
Right.
She's in her own homeland,
right.
But it's a Gentile who had come in at the same time when Naomi is going back.
Amen.
Boaz and Ruth was falling in love.
Right.
Amen. He was looking for character out in the field.
Amen.
It was all happening in the harvest time. So we know the Jews going back to Palestine was a type of the feast of the trumpets, the gathering of Israel. Alright. Let's look at it a little closer. Because Naomi represented the 144,000 who are gathered in Palestine waiting for the redemption right now. Under the sixth seal, Naomi is going to receive her redemption. Naomi's family, all of them had died. Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion had died. Because when these 140,000 were coming back in the homeland, what happened? Here was under the fifth seal, souls under the altar, who had died outside the homeland.
Amen.
Amen. They had died here, but here was 104,000 going back to the homeland to wait for redemption.
Amen.
The same way Joseph's brothers were gathered back for Joseph to make himself known to them. But we find out in that time he's going to dismiss his wife with the palace. Also here we see Naomi. She was coming back. It was the beginning of harvest. And the beginning of harvest, the life is moving beyond the shock stage.
Right.
That is what is making harvest time. You see, because the life is coming up. Coming up all through the months there. And here it is going to be formed into the grain again.
Right.
And at that time when the life is going to be formed into the grain again, here it was Naomi beginning to come back in the homeland. And the Bible says she came in at the beginning of harvest. And when she came into the homeland, it was the beginning of harvest. It was a new age now. Harvest time was a new age.
Right.
You see? The seed had come back to seed.
Amen.
The life was in the original image again.
Amen.
When Naomi arrived in Bethlehem. And that same hour of her return to the homeland, Ruth the Gentile was also coming in into the economy of God. But 1946, Mary 7.6 point star, David flew over Palestine. God Abraham said, the same hour, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the cave, and there's time to ground the world now.
Amen.
Amen. A calling of the angel. The call of the Gentile bride. While the Jews are back in their homeland. But Boaz is dealing with the Gentiles, though the Jews is back in their own homeland.
Amen.
Amen. And here we see that piece of the trumpets, the Jews back in the homeland, and between that time, between Naomi returning and Naomi receiving redemption, we see a mystery of Boaz and Ruth, Christ and his bride. Just like Joseph and his wife, between Joseph's brothers being gathered and Joseph making himself known to them. And here in the book of Ruth, when the Jews back in the homeland, until Naomi received her redemption, Boaz and Ruth was coming together also. So we know then there's a mystery of Christ and the bride between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. And this, we have been one generation already. So if we search back the time of that 40 years, we must be able to find that parallel or these types where the anti-type is being made. Where Joseph and his wife is going to begin to come together. Where Naomi would be in the homeland, and Boaz and Ruth, you meet and you feel.
Amen.
He's looking for character.
Amen.
He said, I know you are a virtuous woman.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And so I've heard about you. See, and then begin to reveal to her, don't glean in no other field. You're looking for redemption. Stay in the field.
Amen.
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 See, and yeah, during that time of labor and serving, when was that taking place? Between Naomi come back in the homeland and before Naomi had received her redemption. So that means we as Gentiles who is coming into the economy of God now must come to a relationship, must come to a real experience, must come to a very love of fear until Boaz himself begin to reveal himself to Ruth as the Lord of the harvest. He was the Lord of the harvest. Who is Boaz? Christ. Now what? Elimelech, which was Naomi's husband, was from Bethlehem, Judah. And Judah is the lion. There is a camp in the east. And that represented the kingship. Because Elimelech, in his inheritance, when Joshua went over in the land, and Joshua divided the land, he gave a portion to the tribe of Judah. And all the families of Judah get a portion of that portion. And Elimelech, his family, got a portion. And he had landmarks. And that could never be forfeited. That was an everlasting possession. And there was a law of redemption for that property.
Amen.
In case it fell into the wrong hands.
There's a proclamation of emancipation in the 50th year Jubilee to redeem back that possession. That was God's laws concerning the land. So here we see Boaz was of the tribe of Judah also. He was the Lion of Judah. He was the great wealthy one. The one that could redeem. Amen. Hallelujah. The one who's going to make a public testimony for the elders. See? So here in that hour, Boaz of the tribe of Judah, the kingship. And Judah is the promise to the son of David.
Amen.
The promise of the throne.
Right.
You see? So when Boaz came in that hour, here he was, the Lion of Judah, and he began to fall in love with his Gentile bride in the harvest time. And Ruth, in the harvest time, began to come through three stages of redemption. See? Like we preached Sunday, we all have the complete stages of redemption. Then, the time came where Boaz revealed himself as kinsman redeemer to Ruth now. Not Lord of the harvest, but the Lord of the harvest. Then, kinsman redeemer. And he's going to make a public testimony for the elders. He's going to stand at Revelation 5 when he comes before the elders.
Amen.
There are 24 elders there. Mm-hmm. And the elders will sit by the gate.
Right.
On a public testimony, he'll come by the gate and give testimony.
Amen.
See, that is going to redeem Ruth.
Amen.
This Gentile who he had seen in the harvest time coming through these stages of redemption while Israel was in the homeland. Now Ruth is a Gog and kind of glean, and he told the reapers, drop an extra handful on purpose. Say she don't understand the Godhead, drop some of that in purpose in the service. She needs to understand some more about her position in the world, drop some of that in purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Ministering spirit, tell the minister to them what he has of salvation.
Amen.
When the reapers come in the field in the harvest time, and there was a chief reaper.
Yeah, there was.
Read in the book of Ruth.
Amen.
And Boaz, Revelation 10:1, come to Revelation 10:7, the chief reaper.
Amen.
And his eyes fell on that virtuous bride.
Amen.
Revelation 10:8-11, that Gentile bride. And we will ask him about her. She was not the denomination of the earth. The old denomination of husband had done dead already.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Israel was in the homeland.
Amen.
And she was looking for redemption.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And she and Boaz can have communication. And then Boaz, because tell him, he says, look, when you're hungry, you come and sit down right among the reapers there. You eat this bread there. He says, nobody is going to interfere with her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He gives special instructions concerning her. She has special privileges.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She begins to find grace in that hour in the eyes of the great Lion of Judah.
Amen.
Amen. We know she comes here, she has to mark the spot where he lay. How she had to lay down the air. How she had to doubt herself. Be a reproach in the word.
Amen.
Humble herself on his feet.
Amen.
Amen. How he gave us 6 measures.
Amen.
Amen. Open up the plan of redemption. See, 6 measures a week. And then she went back and told Naomi told her, that man will not rest.
Right.
See that, you see that man there? That man will not rest.
Amen.
Until he completely redeemed you himself.
Amen.
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 And Ruth had an assurance. She had a blessing. She's going to be at rest.
Amen.
Are you at rest tonight, Ruth?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You have found grace in Paul's eyes. The very Lion of Judah himself have come forth this hour to make a public testimony. Amen. I will redeem Ruth this day. I will take her for my wife. Amen.
Amen.
You are not ashamed to make a public identification with that bride. Elimelech inheritance. You see, Elimelech was Adam. And his inheritance was forfeited. But Boaz is Christ, who is going to come to redeem back Elimelech's inheritance. And when the harvest time, when the Gentile bride is coming in the homeland, he's going to come forth to do the work of redemption. To redeem back that inheritance. So here we see now a little clearer what has been happening from the gathering of the Jews back in the homeland before the Jews received the redemption, which is that mystery between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement. It was not given away here. It was silence here. Because the feast of the trumpets is before the rapture, the feast of the atonement is after the rapture. Amen. See? And the great mystery of redemption. Boaz and Ruth going to meet in the field, and her heart is, you know, she begin to go through the experiences with the word and these things. Let's move on a little bit. So, right here, we see how it parallels Joseph and his wife, amen, being revealed in the same period of time. Ruth receiving for redemption, and then Joseph's wife being dismissed to the palace.
Right.
So he could go back to his brothers. See? Amen. And in that same space of time, between the feast of trumpets and the feast of the atonement, here's Boaz and this Gentile woman. Then from kinsman, from the Lord of the Harvest to kinsman redeemer, next thing he's being revealed as bridegroom of the Gentile bride. See? Revealing himself. And Ruth, who has now becoming the one with Boaz, she had come to him Christians in redemption. And then he turned to her, Naomi was coming also to receive her redemption. Amen. So, I want you to turn with me a little bit to Revelation 8 to 11, so we can become familiar as we read that and close off. Because this is what we're going to be basically dealing with, but we're just setting the scene in the Old Testament with the types there, so when we come to it during the course of the services, we can really strike it. But what we are showing, what is happening from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles. Because after Boaz had redeemed Ruth, Naomi received her redemption, then what happened? Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi live again on Elimelech's inheritance, which is Christ, the bride, and the 140,000 in the millennium. And the same earth that was forfeited to be redeemed back. So here was Joseph and his brothers and his wife, where everything shall bow. And so then we see from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles, called the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium. We see from Joseph's brothers being gathered to Joseph having dominion throughout the land, where everything shall bow in that trumpet sound. And we see from the Jews being gathered back with Naomi to Boaz, Ruth, the Gentile bride, and Naomi on the Elimelech inheritance again. So here now, we want to look at Revelation chapter 8 to 11, and this is what we will be dealing with over the next few days. Verse 1 is speaking about the silence in heaven, Revelation 8 to 1. Verse 2 to 6 is a scene preparing for the seven trumpets to sound. And verse 7, the first trumpet, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees is burnt up, and all the grass is burnt up. So here the earth, the trees, and the grass, a third part of it being destroyed under the first trumpet. The second trumpet, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burned with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, and had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So it moved from the earth now to the sea. And the sea and the creatures in the sea being destroyed. Third trumpet now. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And this now is fresh water. The sea is salt water, but these rivers and fountains and lakes here is fresh water. Amen. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And Wormwood in Russian means Chernobyl. Alright, we're going to, in the Russian Babylon, it says, and the name of the star is called Chernobyl. And the third part of the water, that is fresh water now, all we use for drinking and bathing and washing and cooking and all the dusting and all the plants and everything, that fresh water, became wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shall not be solar planet 92 million miles away.
hear the error being taken that the guest and not that the sunshine and the guest and for the third part and the night likewise. So the four trumpets gave to the trees, the earth, the grass, the sea, the creatures in the sea, the fresh water, which is the environment. God created the trees, God created the sea, God created the fishes, God created it, the sun, moon, and stars. God created the fresh water. That is the creation, the habitation we live in. All of these things in the earth. So all the air pollution, the water pollution, and all the all being busted up, and all the trees, and all the hybrid food and all the things. See? Living in the see. So, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of heaven, saying to the Lord, voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The next three angels, 6-7, is connected to three woes. Woe, 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 by reason of the 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet. To what? The habitants.
Right.
But the first four trumpets deal with the habitation.
Right. Wow.
The next three trumpets deal with the inhabitants. See? And the 5th angel song that I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke out of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke from the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he strikes the man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses appeared in the battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the face of men. And their hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And their breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the song of their wings was like the song of chariots, and many horses were in the battle. And they had tails of the scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And there are a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One war is passed. At the end of the 26th chapter, one war is passed. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. It's not just we need to get it familiarized and we close. And the sixth angel sung it, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is the four gods, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels are loose, who will be paid for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. See, the inhabitants of the earth, slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of their horsemen were 200,000, this 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed. By the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of the mouth. And now the prophet told us, but the Jews who Hitler and Eichmann killed, they cremate them by the fire, the ovens.
Right.
They kill them the gas by the smoke, and by the bullet, brimstone, how they shoot them. It's by these three were they killed. For their power is in their mouth, and their tails, for their tails were like serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues, that repented not of the works of their hands, and they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear, neither walk. Neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, of their theft. And that ends the sixth trumpet. And we see some interval here, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, Revelation 10, 8 to 11, Revelation 11, 1 to 12, Moses and Elijah coming in there. I want to get a verse 14. And the second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. See, 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet deal with three woes. And at the end of the 6th trumpet, the second war is already passed, and there's one more woe. And Revelation 11:15, the 7th trumpet now. And the 7th angel sung it. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, they become the kingdom of the Lord and is Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. And we all agree and we know that that is the millennium.
Amen.
That's the restored Eden. They're going to bring it back just like it was in Genesis 1 and 2. Amen? We lamb, along with the lamb, again, all these things. And the millennium we know is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the millennium. Okay. And the fifth and sixth trumpet, them wars, we took it already, how it gathered the Jews back in the homeland. Alright. And we see Revelation 10, it's beaten the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of the Atonement, because Revelation 11 is 144,000 being called by Moses and Elijah, in the last half of the 70th week. That's the Feast of the Atonement. And then, the seventh trumpet is the Feast of Tabernacles. So from the Feast of Trumpets, Revelation 8, 7, beginning the first trumpet, to the seventh trumpet is dealing with the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. Which is from Naomi coming back in the homeland until Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi is going to make inheritance. Which is Joseph's brothers being gathered until Joseph, his bride, and his brothers
Amen.
In that land of Judah's dominion. So here we pick up the New Testament now, what we're trying to bring out type from the Old Testament, from Leviticus, from the book of Ruth, from the life of Joseph, and here in the book of Revelation. And the 420 elders who sat before God and the thrones fell down on their face and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come." That is eagle, arm, and lamb, prophet, priest, and king, son of man, son of God, son of David, that is threefold mystery. "Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." I'm sorry if I say that too fast. You see, I want to close. But I just reading the seven commandments to familiarize you. Because this is what I'm dealing with later on. I appear as a type in the Old Testament and show the period of time we're dealing with. From this generation, from the Jews gathered back in the homeland, which is the Feast of Trumpets, until the Jews recognize the atonement, and then the millennium, and what's happening in this generation. That's what we've been dealing with. So, verse 18 is what I want to get here. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great," and this is the portion here, "and shouldest destroy them who destroy the earth."
Right.
Under the first four trumpets, we see the earth, the sea, the trees, the water, the air, the whole creation being smitten.
Right.
But under the seventh trumpet is the millennium again.
Right. Amen.
Is the restored Eden.
Right. Amen.
All right. So here we see that the earth is being purified for the millennium to bring back God Eden.
Glory.
Amen. So the same earth that has been smitten under the four trumpets, under the seventh trumpet, the earth is purified again to bring back God Eden.
Amen.
And Revelation 10, we see we go pick up later where the title deed is going to come back right at the end of the destruction of the earth. Coming back to the sons of God, because the earth is groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Because when the Jews went back in their homeland, fifth and sixth trumpet them wars, pushed the Jews back in their homeland, and Naomi was back in their homeland, something else had to happen. The Elimelech inheritance had to be redeemed. That earth had to be redeemed. And under the seventh trumpet, we see the earth is being restored back. See? When the land is going to come back. And that is another civilization. Like it was in Genesis 1 and 2, when God created Adam and gave him dominion over the earth, and there was no water pollution, the trees wasn't being smitten, the water wasn't smitten, the air wasn't smitten, all those things.
Amen.
We see God Elimelech forfeited his inheritance, his fellow squatters.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's going to be redeemed back in the harvest time when Naomi come back and when Ruth is coming in.
Amen.
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 All right, so I think this is the picture. So let's all stand to our feet. So I would say, you didn't get sitting tonight, just stay right there. You pray for me by the grace of God. But notice the scriptures being taken from Genesis, from the book of Ruth, from Leviticus 23, to the book of Revelation, all paralleling from the time the Jews gathered back until the millennium, from the Feast of Tabernacles, and showing where we have come into an experience with the Word of God, where we see our life has been matching the experience that has been happening in that time before the bride is dismissed. If that has been our experience, It has been our revelation. If that has been the relationship being established with the Lord in that space of time, then we can have expectation that we are going up before this God starts back to Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, because something has been happening. It was not given away. And we'll see later on how that was a great secret. And the world didn't even know what's happening, but the Lord had come down there and you feel me and see that bride and speak to her heart. I can imagine and begin to look at him. I brought on top of the ranch boss son, meet a little girl, meet her come there and it's not meant to happen. But I believe it's a heart condition. It's something that happened to our heart. It means speaking to our heart. And Ruth had to labor because the harvest time the sun is in the full strength. See? And she had to labor and toil and she had to be a reproach when she had to go there and lay down on his feet, all those things. But you see, there was a great, beautiful ending. And this is what we're going to see by the grace of God, how He is bringing us right into the fullness of all His promise. He will not rest until He completely redeems us. Amen. We see Him, we have seen Him come before the elders, we see Him give the book, we see Him give the public testimony. Oh my, think of what it is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious, loving Lord Jesus, how we love You, how we appreciate You. When we can look into the scriptures, when we can find this great secret beneath the silence, this thing, Lord, that was a hidden mystery, and see in simplicity, and we are no bodies, but yet our simple, ordinary lives, that many times we think, Lord, we want this anything happening in our lives to prove to us that we are Your bride. It seems, Lord, that everything happens in a simple way, that sometimes we, maybe with a wrong conception, looking for great big things out there. But I pray tonight to the simplicity of Your word. Lord, we find our season, as you find the word allotted to that season, as we see, Lord, how these things are coming to pass in our everyday lives. Lord, tying us into this great scene. Now we can see a present tense unfolding of these realities in our lives. Oh God, what a faith it ought to bring to us, Lord. How it ought to positionally place us and give us a channel of communication with You. That, Lord, we live under the inspiration of this revelation and see, Lord, that righteousness be revealed from faith unto faith in each and every one of us. Bless Your children tonight. Take these things, Lord, and make it so simple and so real in every heart. And, Lord, may it bring such a faith and such a realization to each and every one of us, Father. Lord, I commit them into Your hands and ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Your sake. Amen. God bless you until this is back to believe.
Well, everybody has to have their service. I had mine tonight. Anybody that didn't get a feast out of that, I'll just tell you what you need to do is maybe hear the tape again. We'll certainly make the tape available to you. How many enjoyed that? Oh, yeah. I mean, as soon as you hear Ruth, you just say me. You know, as soon as you hear Joseph's bride, you hear me. She's dismissed. We're right at the dismissal time, friends. Right at the dismissal time. You know, on the news today, talk about how current this message is that we heard tonight. On the news today, you know, the first thing that's uppermost in the minds of a lot of the people in the world is because President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev are meeting. And President Reagan has left. He's going to be in Helsinki today, or he's there now, and will be going on in about 2 days to Moscow. And you know, the thing that they're speaking about is that this Mikhail Gorbachev is so Western, he's taken all the thunder out of Reagan's speech. Of course, they don't have, you know, the missile pact, his disarmament has been signed, and here they got, rather than a nation that they're going to, you know, they used to be able to talk about the disarmament or talk about Afghanistan, and they haven't got Afghanistan to talk about, they haven't got the missiles to talk about, they're letting the Jews go, they haven't got that to talk about. They said that he stole his thunder. And it really has nothing to say. And so, you know what they raised up as the number one subject? The Middle East. Because everything else spells peace, you know, disarmament is peace, and they're moving out of, right now, troops are already moving out. He kept his promise that he'll move them out by May, certain date, and they started moving out. It's all peace. But we got still one subject on the table, the Middle East. Hallelujah. Dismissal time for the bride of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. I'm bound for the promised land. I thought that'd be appropriate to sing tonight. 56 in the little blue book, and we're just going to dismiss you. We're not going to prolong it because we got service tomorrow night. We want you to come back rested. And I can assure you, as the message rolls on, I just tell you, I think our brother Vin, he just overdid it tonight. To me, he just got 10 on the scale. A gold star. Only towards the end, I thought he was breaking into unknown tongues. I was hoping we would have an interpreter here. And it certainly wouldn't be Joseph. Well, we enjoyed it, didn't we? Wonderful. All right, let's just sing from our heart as we are happy.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye.
God is delighted with his creation, and he's grieved with what man has done with it, that he's smitten it. Linda and Joanne, I believe it was, were driving in the car just a few days ago, and it just comes to me now, and I might just say this to you. Sometimes these little natural things that happen have such a spiritual significance. In connection with the message we heard tonight, we're going to a renewed, a completely restored Eden in bodies that can fully appreciate it. But they're just going up here on 64th and saw a little robin on the pavement in the lane, traffic lane, maybe 2-3 feet into the lane. And it was just sitting there, transfixed with its head cocked upward like that. And so they stopped and actually pulled around it like that. And it just stayed there. And coming directly behind them was some more traffic and was a big cement truck. And I don't know, did the cement truck pull around or did it actually go over? Did one of the vehicles went over? No, they pulled around. They pulled her, a great big cement truck, and saw her pull around, and it pulled around, and another vehicle or two pulled around, and that little bird never moved, never fluttered, ever just stayed transfixed. So Linda stopped. She thought, that is most unusual.
So she went back and came up right close to it, and it never moved, and she took it in her hand, and then it fluttered a little bit out of her hand, went back to the ground and took that same position, just looking to the sky like that. And then she noticed just ahead was another robin that had been killed. It had been run over, and that one was standing right there beside that, probably its mate. It was just standing there, so she took a paper and moved the dead bird off to the side of the ditch and let this one down, and they drove away with that bird in that same position over that other dead one, just standing there looking straight like that. You know, I can tell you something, friends. Creation groans. Creation, there's something there that knows how to grieve. And one day, Brother Bram says, when you see that, you know there's a place somewhere where that doesn't happen. God's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. And how a simple prophet comes and says, oh, we make these great, you know, inventions and cars and autos, but the more civilized we get, the more death associated with it. But there's a place where there is no death associated with it. And oh, I long for that place. And I know you do too. We're bound for that promised land. Let's sing the last verse.
When shall I reach that happy place?
Blessings. Brother Wayne Coyle, I'm going to ask you if you'd just come up here and dismiss us in prayer and ask God's blessings, and then you're all dismissed to go with these thoughts, this message in your heart tonight. I know God will make it a great blessing for you. God bless you.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you tonight for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you can never forget us, oh God. You're always mindful of us, Lord. Pray now that you just go with us, Father. Go with us on the roads. Protect us. Bring us back safely tomorrow night, we pray. In thy precious name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Shake hands with one another now as we sing the chorus again. I am bound for. You're all dismissed in Jesus' name.